want you to take a minute and just think back on your 2024. Just run it through in your mind. Was it smooth sailing?
No.
Was it more like the angry oceans on Deadliest Catch?
Yeah, I guess it was.
If you're like our family, maybe a little bit of both. We stand on the brink of a new year, and we ask, what will 2025 hold? I don't know. I do know this. The Lord is faithful.
Amen.
He's faithful to his children. And in a little while, we got five people that are going to share some testimonies of that in their lives. Unless you're looking at your clock saying, I got lunch plans, are you going to share for about 2 minutes each? And if you're saying, I wish I could share, we'll have other times. Those are all we have time for, but it's going to be a blessing. Lord is faithful to his children. But I want to set the stage first, because I see his faithfulness to his children in the book of Exodus. That's where I've been having my quiet time lately. You remember, Israel left that old season of slavery in Egypt for freedom at God's hand. But in doing so, they also left 4 centuries of familiar for the unknown of a new season. And as you think about your life, if you're like me, it's often as we leave the familiar that our faith is tested. I want to show you 4 ways he was faithful to them in their new season. First, God delivers. God delivers. Put yourself in Israel's sandals. As they came out, the Lord purposely led them to a place where the Red Sea was on one side and the army of a very angry Pharaoh was storming towards them on the other. An apparent trap and dead end, humanly speaking. They see that enemy coming towards them. And they cry out. And Exodus says, the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. Yes, he was with them. What was he up to? What was he thinking? Thankfully, we get a peek into the mind of God. Because he had told Moses in Exodus 14:4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory. I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. That's what God was up to. He was about to show his glory to Egypt and Israel in a way they could not have imagined. You remember what he told Moses in Exodus 14:13? He told Moses, and Moses passed it on to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. You know the rest. God parted the sea. Israel crossed. The Egyptians drowned. And guess what that did in the hearts of his people? Exodus 14:31 says, Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed. They believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. And then they sang. That part Tony read earlier, that was part of a song of worship to the Lord after all that. Exodus 15:13, you have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You see, it was through an apparent dead end they learned some profound things about their faithful God and his deliverance. God also sustains. Exodus 17:1 says there was no water for the people to drink. Have you ever been so thirsty, so parched that you could think of nothing else but getting a drink? We hear tragic stories sometimes in Arizona of people who set out in the summer on Camelback Mountain without water and the tragic end. Have you ever been that thirsty? Exodus 17:3 says the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why'd you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" And I sometimes think, poor Moses, he's just doing what God told him to do. But guess what? Doing what God tells us to do is rarely easy, right?
No, it's not.
What happened? Exodus 17:5, the Lord said to Moses, "Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." Now, Moses is the first guy I know of to hit the rock. He hit that rock, and what happened? Life-sustaining water flowed for up to 2 million people. Think about it. He sustains. He protects. He protects. Exodus 17:8 says, "Then Amalek came and fought with Israel." Now you need to know a little bit about Amalek. This was a hostile and heartless army. More like the terrorists of this time. You know how we know that? We know that from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, verse 17. It says, "Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you came out of Egypt, how he attacked you on the way when you were faint and weary and cut off your tail, those who were lagging behind you." Now, let me ask you a question. Who lags behind in a group like that? Is it not usually the elderly, the very young, the sick? And heartless Amalek was taking those folks out. So Moses, verse 9 of Exodus 17, said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. It says, whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. What a picture of interceding to God. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. After that protection and victory, verse 15 says, Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner," saying, "A hand upon the throne of the Lord." I'm going to tell you, believer, that is exactly what prayer is. A hand upon the throne of the Lord. And God answered mightily that day with his protection of his people. Finally, God guides. God guides his people. You find yourself at a crossroads, you need guidance, God guides. Exodus 18, we see this. Moses is on the brink of burnout. Anybody there? Whether at work or somewhere else. He's judging all the people's disputes in that group, okay? So if you counsel anyone, or maybe work in human resources somewhere, maybe you can imagine what he's feeling. Only he had up to 2 million people. And anytime there's a dispute, they come to him. He was sorely in need of guidance, lest he burn out. And guess what? God provided it. His father-in-law, Jethro, shows up. He shows up and with more wisdom than his namesake on the Beverly Hillbillies. What's he say? What's he say? Exodus 18:18, he tells Moses, "You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out. This thing is too heavy for you. You're not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice and God be with you." And basically he tells them, hey, Moses, delegate. Find some other people qualified to help you. Spread it out. He says, if you do this, God will direct you. You'll be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace. Now, how many of you can accept advice from your in-laws? Moses could. He was the meekest man on the face of the earth. It says he listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. He needed guidance, and God provided it. God was faithful in Exodus. Let me shift gears a little bit and say, God is faithful in Christ. And there's a connection. 1 Corinthians 10:4, the Apostle Paul is looking back at these events in the wilderness. And you know what he says? He says, they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. The rock was Christ. What is going on here? You see, I believe long before Christ was ever born a man, as we celebrate at Christmas, he was with them in that desert, providing for them. You say, I thought it was God with them in the desert. I say, yes. Christ is God. Christ is God. So how about us today? Christ, our rock, was struck. He was killed, then rose again, and the blessings flow. The blessings flow. He's faithful to us in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, God has blessed us in Christ, believers, with every spiritual blessing. With every spiritual blessing. He delivers. He delivers. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There's deliverance, forgiveness of sins in Christ. He sustains us. He sustains us. I think about sustain, and I think about a piano, and some of us are so tired, we think all I got is that little staccato note. Dink, that's all I got. I'll tell you, God is like that pedal. That pedal goes down, and that little staccato note holds out. It sustains. Spiritually, John 4:13, he's talking to the woman at the well. He says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Let me ask you a question. Have you taken that drink by faith in Jesus Christ? Not just spiritually, though. Physically, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things? He had been talking about our physical needs. Mm-hmm. Seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. In the same chapter, he says, do not worry. He cares for the birds. Of course, he'll care for you. You do not have to worry in 2025 if you take that by faith and seek first his kingdom. I didn't say you don't have to work. I did not say you don't have to plan. But you do not have to worry any longer if you take him at his word. He sustains spiritually. He sustains physically. And he sustains eternally. I love this verse, 1 Corinthians 1:7. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end. You may sit here today and say, I don't got enough to make it to the end. He does. He will sustain you, believer, to the end. He protects. First, I think about that spiritual armor he's blessed the believer with in Ephesians 6 to put on in our battle against the principalities and power, among them the shield of faith, with which we can quench every fiery dart of the evil one. But beyond the armor, I want you to look at what Peter says in 1 Peter 1. He speaks of an inheritance for the believer. Verse 4, an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded. The believer is being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. And what I want to say here, especially if you're in the middle of a trial, no trial, believer, can change your eternal destiny. You are protected by the power of God through faith. And finally, God guides. He guides. You think about those decisions you got to make this coming year. He guides. John 16:13, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. And he tells them, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will guide you into all the truth. Jesus sent the Spirit. We're going to talk about that in the book of Acts. And the Spirit guided some of those men as they wrote down God's truth. We have it between two covers in our Bibles today. Amen. Okay? And then for us today, the same Spirit guides us to understand as we read. If we read. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. When you open the Bible, do you pray, Lord, help me to understand this by your Holy Spirit? He longs to do that. And then that same Spirit guides us to live it. To live it as we depend on Him. Romans 8:14 says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. God is faithful in Christ. That leaves every one of us as we step into 2025 with a choice. Will we trust Him? Will you trust Him? Because later on in that 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5, Paul's talking about that group in the wilderness. And he says, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Many of them did not make it into the promised land for lack of faith. They did not believe the Lord who had delivered them. And Paul says these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Many died in that desert because they did not believe in the God who had delivered them. Many chose idolatry, sexual immorality, and grumbling. Now think about us. What about us on the brink of a new year? Are we going to choose rebellion? Are we going to choose to trust with all we are in Christ our Savior? As I wrap up, I want to invite our testimony folks to come down near the front here. But I just want to say, even though Israel was free, life was not always easy. Was God with them at the shores of the Red Sea? Big time. Believer, I want to tell you today, whatever trial you're going through, even if it looks like a dead end to you, He is there He has promised not to leave or forsake you. What was he up to with them? He was showing them his glory in a way they could never have imagined. And I want to ask you, if you're in the middle of a trial, what is it he may want to show you of his glory, his character, his love for you in the middle of that trial? If you are in the middle of a trial this morning, I'll leave you with two quotes from Samuel Rutherford. He was a Scottish pastor in the 1600s. I'm partial to the Scottish pastors. He said two things. He said, "When I am in the cellar of affliction, I look for the Lord's choicest wines." He also said, "Believe God's word and power more than you believe your own feelings and experiences. Your rock is Christ, and it is not the rock which ebbs and flows, but your sea. If your Lord calls you to suffering, do not be dismayed, for he will provide a deeper portion of Christ in your suffering." So whether it's smooth sailing for you right now or choppy seas, I want you to go out of here knowing full well that God is faithful.
Amen.
To his children. Amen?
Amen.
Now I want to invite some folks down to share this reality from their own lives. First, we got Nathan, Crystal, and Noel Twist. They're going to share about some journeys God's had them on this year and his faithfulness.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
This whole year was a really big journey for us. I would first like to say thank you for letting us share. But as a lot of you guys might know, we spent a lot of time in Nashville this year. And I think that whole experience was God testing us. We went out there and we were doing really good for a while. But a lot of things happened that landed us back here in Prescott Valley. When we first got there, I was able to get a job really quick. I was doing really, really good. I got to do a lot of really cool things. But quickly, God showed me that that was a test of my faith. Because soon, I lost my job. I was working for a stagehand company on the side, and then that slowed down, and then we were pregnant for a little while, and we lost that pregnancy, and we started breaking down, and then I finally realized that we went there, and it was my plan, and my plan wasn't the plan that God had for us, and I finally realized when I was in a mental hospital for a week that I gotta let go of my plan and let God do what he wants with my life. Amen. That there's literally nothing I can do to change his plan for my life. And what I also realized while I was out there, I met some people that changed my life. I met a friend that she had a friend, and that friend introduced me to her husband, and that changed my life because that man was a really good guy, not the most Christian guy you'd ever meet, but he introduced me to something I actually fell in love with. He introduced me to boxing, and I think that really changed my life because I would have never thought of that being something that I could ever do. And now that is a daily thing for me. I love it. And that's God's plan, I think. And the smallest little thing like that can make the biggest difference. Things that come into your life out of nowhere, you never even think about doing it. And it changes your whole perspective. Thank you, honey.
Hello. Right there? Okay. Well, hi, everybody. No, we can't get the microphone. No, thank you. No, thank you. We went to Nashville this year, and that was a good experience overall. Unfortunately, broke my ankle, and you know that was not fun. I've met a lot of not good people out there. We had a really good church, this church pours into the community. So going out there and trying to find a church that did that was really nice to see. Earlier this year, though, Noelle had some health issues. She was 2 months old and hospitalized, and at this point, she had been projectile vomiting every bottle. I'm not gonna lie, feeding time was a time of kind of dreadful for me because I knew she wasn't gonna keep most of it down. So beginning, this was January, I was pretty hopeless and I was very depressed and sad. And I was like, why isn't she gaining weight? And I just cried out to God and I said, God, please help me because I can't do it anymore. I can't see her suffer. Thankfully, thank Jesus for hypoallergenic formula because that's what really fixed things for her. She had torticollis, which is basically fully resolved now. What else? And then she's had her own obstacles this year, and God's really brought us through that. This past year, God's provided financially in ways that I didn't think he would. Every time that I thought, God, how are we going to do it? He always was right there. And I'm going to be open and kind of embarrassed about it, but I haven't been the best with my Bible reading this year. I haven't been faithful in that aspect. And it amazed me because I was like, why are you blessing me with all this stuff? Why are you still taking care of me, even though I don't read my Bible? So that was a big testament to me this year, was the fact that he carried us through. And, it's just been a very eye-opening and humbling year. But I'm thankful for what he's done and what he continues to do. As he said, we had a loss, a pregnancy loss in August, and that was very hard. And then not too long after, I broke my ankle. And so I quickly realized, hey, I was about to get a job. And I broke my ankle the day before, and I was just sitting there questioning God. And I was like, why is this happening? I don't understand. And so I'm going to be honest. I don't really understand why we went through what we went through this year, but I know he has a purpose for it. And going into 2025, I'm just excited to see what he has for us. And I thank you for all the prayers and the love this year. And we appreciate you guys as our church family.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Heidi told me she has a poem. If you didn't know it, she's an avid poet, and she's going to bring a poem of gratitude.
Testing. Can you hear me okay? Okay. So I process things through poetry. 2024. It's the end of 2024. I am grateful to the core. In February, my body was shutting down from pneumonia in each lung. I turned to Yeshua and prayed. My hands were wrung. Take me. If I've fulfilled my part of what I'm to do here, I'm not afraid of death. I don't have fear. But I thought I was to accomplish more. I have books to write and poems galore. Well, I'm still here. I guess it's not my time yet. When I fell, Yeshua was my net. Then in July, he almost took my brother. He had a heart attack and stents put in, and we prayed to Yeshua and no other. God spared him and left him with purpose to teach and coach. My brother is studying healing his heart with holistic and integrative approach. I closed escrow on a house on Bird Street in August as my brother was in the hospital healing. Overwhelmed and drained was my general feeling. I relied on my close friend who had a recent brush with death as well. Those few months were torture and really felt like hell. The whole time I would say to myself, I can do all things in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, who gives me strength. We made it through the year, a 365-day length. I lost my voice from the Trelegy inhaler, the asthma medication, back in October. The return of my asthma and not speaking well made me kind of sober. 2024 has been a challenge, bringing us closer to God. His mercy endureth forever. I continue to rise and flourish like a cedar in Lebanon and write poems that are clever. I end with a prayer of gratitude. I wrote this last year. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the heartache. Thank you for the pain. It lets me know that I'm alive. I thank you, God. With my blessings, I thrive. Every breath I draw is a blessing you gave. I hold you in awe, right to the grave. I follow your guidance. My purpose, not always clear, but my walk is toward you, and I put aside fear. Thank you for challenge. Thank you for love. I pray for the peace that coos like a dove. I pray for the heart in people to see, feeling your presence within them, being spiritually free.
Amen.
Thank you, Heidi. Frank, there's Brother Frank.
I'm Frank Thompson. I've been a pastor for over 40 years, and I only get 2 minutes. So I will try to do my best. 2024 has been a up and down year. Started off great with teaching the book of Revelation in a class before the service. But I came to the place where I wasn't being able to hear, and I wasn't being able to communicate that well or understand questions asked. I was frustrated. I'm sure the students were frustrated. My wife was frustrated. And you know how the saying goes, if Mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. So I was wondering what I was going to do. I thought of the scriptures where Jesus healed the blind man. He said, here's mud in your eye, now go wash. And then a deaf and dumb person, he put his fingers in his ears and healed him. And I'm saying, those aren't going to work for me. So what am I going to do? Thankfully, I have an ENT in Flagstaff who I was seeing for allergies. And being an ENT, she also gave me a hearing test. And as a result, she sent me down to Dr. Sean Stevens at Barrows in Phoenix. And I was tested for a cochlear implant. And many of you were praying for me, and are still praying, and I so appreciate that. But God healed me. I went down. I was tested. This ear was 2% hearing. This ear was 23% hearing. I went through the surgery for 3 weeks. While I was healing, I didn't go anywhere. I didn't come to church. I didn't go to work. My wife drove whenever we went anywhere, And so, you know, it was going through a process. But when I got the hardware and I began to hear, I was thrilled, because I was down to just, I was shutting down, and God took that, and went through the surgery and the healing, and then I got the hardware, and I was recently tested. This year is now 82%. And so the greatest thing that I learned in this is I read, where did this cochlear implant idea come from? There was an Australian doctor whose father was deaf. He was an ear surgeon. He had a shell and a blade of grass, and he figured out that he could put some electric pulses into your, under your skin, going to the inner ear, and that's how this was born. I continue to improve, and that just shows God's faithfulness in giving people, especially doctors like that, an inquisitive mind to come up with some kind of a shell and a blade of grass, and he came up with a cure. And they're also considering now putting one on this side. So thank you for praying, and keep praying, and praise God.
Hold on to that for one sec. I have one more question for you. In the middle of that 3 weeks when you couldn't hear anything, you told me something about your times with the Lord. Can you share that with them?
Well, during that 3 weeks, you know, I spent more time reading the scripture and just focusing on Him. And I can't remember what I told you, but it was a special time for me, just relating the scriptures. And we met for coffee and talked about it. And I was watching some films on the touring, anyway, about the scriptures, Acts through Revelation. Anyway, he said, "I'm trying to decide what to preach on." And he said, "I'm thinking of Genesis or Acts and or Romans." And I said, "Well, I was watching Acts." I said, "I would recommend Acts." So he's made that decision.
Right on. Thank you, Brother Frank. Now I want to invite two of our missionaries, Matt and Christy, that our church helps support. They're in town this morning, and blessing that the timing worked out for a testimony. They have an update that I want you to hear.
So who wants it first?
So we, in February 2024, this last year, we moved down to Tucson to see if we could continue raising support to head overseas to the Middle East. Our big update is that we just got the letter that we need from an organization in Israel so that we can get our visas. We are very, very close to launching. We have about 13% left to raise for monthly support so we can pay rent and stuff like that. But we're very, very close, and we're looking to leave in February. So it's right around the corner now.
In reflecting on this last year, we've really been impressed with how much God has been shaping us. Sorry. And I would say 2024 has been the year of surrender for us. We surrendered all of our plans, everything that we thought our lives would be, and God took that and He provided. And we've seen so much provision. He's taken care of us every step of the way. I know that this church family is a big part of that, and we're so thankful for you, really, truly. Thank you.
And we're thankful for you guys. Thank you for that update. Now I want to bring this home. Dana is going to be up there on the piano for a few minutes before we sing our last song. I want to give you just a few moments alone with the Lord to talk to him. And Stetson's going to put three words at the bottom that I want you to keep in mind. The first one is thank. This is a chance for you to thank him for his faithfulness to you in 2024 as you look back. A time to say thank you, Lord. A time to think about trust. Will I trust him? Do I trust him in 2025, even if life gets hard? Will I look to him to deliver, sustain, protect, and guide? And finally, there's some choices that may need to be made in this room. In 2025, will I choose rebellion, that idolatry, that immorality, that grumbling, or will I choose to put my trust in him and obey, to press deeper into him, to learn more of who he is in his word and prayer, to worship him more deeply, to walk with him more closely? So with those three words in mind, thank, trust, and choose, I invite you to just a few moments of prayer, then we'll close with our final song.